It's good to come in early and appreciate ministry of music, which has been shared, which makes such a peaceful and warm setting to gather into the house of the Lord. For a call to worship this evening, I have chosen out of the third book of Nephi, out of the eighth chapter, beginning with the 49th verse. Behold, I am the light. I have set an example for you. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and said unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptations. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore ye must always pray unto the Father in my name, and whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. Let's continue our service with hymn 105.
Bow with me. O God, the eternal Heavenly Father, It is good to come to this sanctuary, a place of rest and peace, a place of prayer and a place of joy and happiness. We pray, Father, this night that our worship will be pleasing unto Thee and that we'll be uplifted by that Holy Spirit that guides us all. And I pray that You would place the words and the thoughts upon the mind of our brother Bill, that he will teach us those things that You would have us to do. For truly, Father, we desire to serve You and be a part of that kingdom to come. Father, bless us now as we come into that worship with You, and may all receive that Spirit in their heart, that they might testify of it and let all know that we have such a wonderful and loving Heavenly Father. And we ask it in the blessed name of Thy Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
I've chosen for my selection of scripture for the call to worship this evening from the 85th section of the Doctrine and Covenants. And these are the words of Joseph Smith Jr., given to the saints December 27th, 1832. And Joseph had just turned 27 years old at this time. And it's considered, this section 85, as the olive leaf, a message of peace. And these things are the things that we are to see that we do. And from verse 38, see that you love one another, cease to be covetous, learn to impart one another as the gospel requires. Cease to be idle. Cease to be unclean. Cease to find fault with one another. Cease to sleep longer than is needful. Retire to thy bed early, that ye may not be weary. Arise early, that your bodies and your minds may be invigorated. And above all things, clothe yourself with the bonds of charity, as with a mantle, which is a bond of perfectness and peace. Pray always, that ye may not faint until I come. Behold, and lo, I will come quickly, and receive you unto myself. Amen. And then from the 87th section, verse 6e, search diligently, pray always, and be believing, and all things shall work together for your good, if ye walk uprightly, and remember the covenant wherewith ye have covenanted one with another.
Remain seated and sing hymn 399, 399.
I greet you each one in the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And I pray that this hour spent together will be meaningful to you and will be profitable. That verse of scripture that I shared with you is really the context of my sermon this night. And I could read it over again and then say amen and sit down, I believe. For if we would hold to all of these commandments, I'm sure that it would be most profitable to our Savior Jesus Christ. That we truly are to love one another. We're not to be covetous. We're learned to impart one with the other. We're to cease to be idle or cease to be unclean. And perhaps one of those things that we're most challenged with, that we're ceased to find fault with one another. But above all things, we are to clothe ourselves in the bonds of charity. The Lord has richly been good to us, each one, as we have been able to review those many blessings that are ours, even in this day. From that early morning worship service that we had, sharing with us that harvest that God has granted unto each of us this season. And I'm most thankful for that time of harvest. And I'm most thankful for this weather that we've had this last week. It certainly has been an answer to our prayers to find that sweet relief in those cooler temperatures and that lower humidity. I've been able to get out and to do some of those projects out in the yard and in the garden and that have been put off because of the heat. And also, we can be very thankful for our Wednesday night prayer service this last Wednesday evening. When this church was considerably a lot fuller than it is tonight, with saints that had come prepared together, focusing on one thing, that sweet relief to our sister Beth. And I'm sure you felt the Holy Spirit present as you were part of that service. I know that I did. And it was a very close blessing with that Spirit of the Lord in our midst. We have been richly blessed. These bonds of charity that we're to put on as a mantle, this charity is the pure love of Christ, that unifying force that is ours to have, that is ours to use as we would impart to one another as the gospel requires, and as we would love one another and pray for one another. We're to pray always that we would not faint, and to be believing. You know, that's the hard part about faith, I guess. That we have to have a faith that is so strong that we believe in the results of our prayers, having no doubt, having no question, but simply believing in that faith that God has instilled in us. And we're promised that all things shall work together for our good. And we are to remember that covenant, one with the other. As we think of those covenants that we're to keep all of God's commandments, we know that first and great commandment is to love God with all our might, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it, to love our neighbor as ourself. So that is a part of that covenant, I believe, that we have made one with the other. That those things that we desire that they do unto us, we so desire that we would do unto them. For if you would hearken unto the Spirit, what teaches a man to pray, ye would know that ye must pray. For the evil spirit teaches not a man to pray, but teaches him that he must not pray. 2 Nephi 14:11. What I say unto one, I say unto all, pray always, lest that wicked one have power in you, and remove you out of your place. This is found in Doctrine and Covenants 90:8d. Be diligent unto the end. Pray always that you may come off conqueror of Satan, that you do uphold his work, and that you may escape the hands of his servants. Now we know that 1/3 of the hosts of angels were cast down to the earth. They had their agency in that courts of glory, along with Satan. But Satan in his place was able to deceive 1/3 of that host, becoming his servants to work his iniquity, to deceive even the very elect. Have you ever let Satan win in your life? I'd ask you to think about that for a moment. I'm sure I have. I feel that there's some of you that have as well, that you have allowed Satan to win in your life. Perhaps those very last words that you were bound to get in any argument that you've had with a family member or an acquaintance. Or maybe even win you to using harsh words in some confrontation. Or has he just won anger out of you? I think of those many times that I've set for myself in the morning a whole list of projects that I want to get accomplished in that day. And I've set for myself an unlikely task to get them all done. And as I start out trying to accomplish each one of those tasks, and something goes wrong, and I can't find a tool or something, I know that that's when Satan tries his very best to win that anger in me. And it's a challenge. I know that I must stop and pray that I may conquer Satan in his tracks and never allow him to win that anger out of me. We must pray for strength and the power of the Holy Ghost to withstand the buffeting of Satan and his angels, for we know that Satan desires each of us that he might claim us as his own, deceiving the very elect. Therefore, we must always pray unto the Father in my name, and whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. It's interesting how the Spirit works with us. Brother Dan shared with me before he came up his scripture reading that he was going to read in the opening remarks. And it was the very same scripture that I was going to use. And he did it again with these very same words. So I'm feeling that these are Lord's words to you this night, that he would admonish you to pray always in faith, believing that all things might work together for your good and for the good of those that you are praying for. We must pray without doubt. We must pray in believing. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. That was 3 Nephi 8:52. Are you praying for your companion? Are you praying for your children, your grandchildren, your other family members, your brothers and sisters, and your brothers and sisters in the faith? We must remember to always pray for those that we love and are concerned for. And I would admonish you, each one, that you would never, ever take your wife or your husband or your children or your grandchildren for granted. These have been your charge, given to you for your edification, for your good, for your prosperity in this land, this choice land above all other lands. We need to pray for our loved ones. Heaven certainly is at hand for all of us. No matter who we are, no matter what we do, no matter where we go, heaven is always at hand. We never know when we will be called to stand before that judgment bar of our Lord and be taken from this life and come before His throne in judgment. Heaven is at hand for all of us, and we never know when we will be called home. I know that I took my wife and daughter very much for granted. I've had those times of remorse, remembering. Those times I failed them. Those times that I didn't try to help them in their dreams, their heartfelt dreams. My daughter was just 2 months away from her 21st birthday when she was taken home through that automobile accident. And it was a devastating moment in our lives. But I realized that I had not been the father and example to her that I should have been. And I've since asked for forgiveness for that. I've asked the Lord that He might convey that to her. And then my wife, passing away 16 years later with her bout of cancer. Another instance where I feel that I failed her greatly. In my selfish interests, not fulfilling some of her heart's desires while she was still here upon this earth. So I admonish you, each one, to never take your family for granted. To always be prayerful and mindful of them, that all things might work together for your good. And from Alma, 16th chapter, starting with the 219th verse, we read these words, that we are to cry unto the Lord. Cry unto the Lord in mighty prayer. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto Him. Cry unto Him when you are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto Him in your houses, and over your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the powers of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, who is an enemy of all righteousness. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that you may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets and in your secret places and in your wilderness. Yea, when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full. Drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare and for the welfare of those who are around you. And behold, my brethren, I say unto you, do not suppose this is all, for after you have done all these things, if you turn away the needy and the naked, and visit not the sick and the afflicted, and impart of your substance, if you have, to those who stand in need, I say unto you, if you have done not any of these things, behold, your prayer is vain, and availeth you nothing. And ye are as hypocrites who deny the faith. We are to cry over all of these things, both morning, midday, and evening, as that scripture 2:19 tells us. I just wondered if you are continuing to cry out unto the Lord in your fields and over your flocks and over your household and over your homes, and certainly crying against that power of your enemies, who is the devil. Do you have that morning prayer together before you start your day? Before you all leave in your various directions, separated, do you make that a matter of your morning prayer together? Before some will be going to work, before some of you will be going to school, before some of you will be staying home, perhaps some of you will be going to your garden or into your field or tending to your flocks. You pray that morning prayer together that God might protect all, that he might grant unto your children that great faith, that strong faith, to be able to stand against the wiles of the adversary, to quench his fiery darts that he hurls at them daily in their activities amongst their peers. Do you have that prayer at midday? Or in the evening before bed, to thank him for that day's good gifts and blessings? Do you have that prayer over your meals? A lot of times I'll miss breakfast, but I look very forward to lunch. That midday that I come in from the field and make that meal prepared for me, and before I partake of it, I truly ask the Lord's blessing upon it. And then whatever else comes to mind. A lot of times it's praying for you, each one of you, that you might be protected in that day, that you might have his gift of his Spirit to be accompanying you, that you might walk hand in hand with our Lord. Do you pray over your meals when you're out in the restaurant? I found this sometimes quite hard, but I make it a matter of prayer, trusting any that see me would be influenced in that same manner, knowing that I'm thankful for that meal and that I ask God's blessing upon it. You pray vocally as well as in your closet. This is another commandment that God has given us in our daily walk with Him, that we're not only to pray in our closet, in our secret chambers, but we're to pray vocally before Him. And our Wednesday evening prayer service is a wonderful opportunity for you to voice that vocal prayer before our Lord. Have you established that family altar, that place set apart, where you can come together for that prayer, whether it be in the morning or in the evening? Have you devoted that time to your Lord? That your faith may be increased, that your thanksgiving might be recognized, that your love for Him might be expressed. God has commanded us to pray without ceasing and to give thanks in all things. Look unto God with firmness of mind and pray unto Him with exceeding faith, and He will console you in your afflictions. Jacob 2:49. Pray in that firmness of mind with exceeding faith, and it is your promise that God would console you, would comfort you, would cheer you up in your times of trial and in your afflictions. I say unto you that you must pray always and not faint, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that He will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. 2 Nephi 14:12. We are to pray always, and we're not to perform anything unto the Lord, save we first pray to Him, pray to the Father in His name, that He would consecrate our performance for the welfare of our souls. What is that welfare of your soul? I think it is possibly that reward, that welfare of your soul, that reward that you receive when you stand at the judgment bar of Christ and have your whole life expressed before you, that this will be for your welfare of your souls, that good reward for your just deeds and your performance before our Father and His Son. And no matter what we do for the Lord in rendering our reasonable service, whether it be visiting the sick, whether it be testifying of Him, or teaching a class, or preaching His word, we must pray that He will consecrate or make holy our performance for the welfare of our souls. Pray always, and I will pour out my Spirit upon you, and great shall be your blessing. Yea, even more than if you should obtain treasures of earth. Doctrine and Covenants 18:6a. I believe an answered prayer is worth much more than any earthly treasure. We are to pray for enlightenment, wisdom, and understanding, that He would bear, that we might bear much fruit. I talked in one of my messages not too long ago about that pruning of the Lord. Those things that He desires to prune from our branches. Those things that hold us back, that selfishness that drags us down, for that unbelief, for those sins that we have committed. We are to ask God for forgiveness, that these might be pruned from our branches, that we might be able to bear much fruit. And we are to pray for that hope of eternal life, that we would enter into the rest of our Lord in that paradise of God. And to hear these words spoken unto us as we stand there before Him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into my rest." We are to pray for that hope of eternal life. And that gift of that holy place of rest, that state of rest in the paradise of God. And it's interesting that once again that in our adult class that we touched on this next two verses of scripture that are some of my favorite from Elba 19, 43rd and 44th verse. "Behold, it has been made known unto me by an angel." Now you see, this was Elma speaking to his son Corianton, trying to inspire him to his duties and his responsibilities as a priesthood member in the Church of Jesus Christ. "Behold, it has been made known unto me by an angel that the spirits of all men, as soon as they departed from this mortal body, yea, the spirits of all men, whether they be good or evil, are taken home to that God who gave them life. And then shall it come to pass that the spirits of those who are righteous are received into a state of happiness, which is called paradise, a state of rest, a state of peace, where they shall rest from all their troubles and from all care and sorrow." What a great gift and blessing that is, to be in the courts of paradise with our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, there's been many books written about these experiences that people have had outside of the body, where they've all come before this bright light that was very much more brighter than the noonday sun. And as they got closer to it, they could feel that pure love of Christ, that charity that we're to put on our shoulders as that mantle, to be that prayer warrior for our family and friends. And they've all had that pretty much that same encounter where they've come and were at the very presence of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They knew it was Him, and they were spellbound because of that pure love that He radiated unto them. It was total. It was without expression. They were totally consumed in that pure love of Christ. And they never wanted to leave. But in most cases, they were given that opportunity to make that choice. And of course, many of them chose to come back because they wrote these books, these experiences that they had. It's beyond earthly description They said that they witnessed the flowers radiating music. They heard the bubbling brooks as if it were an orchestra or some symphony beyond anything that they've heard. These joys and expressions of paradise. Some went to worlds beyond ours and visited people that they had known in that spiritual realm before they came here to earth. These are some of those mysteries, those divine mysteries that we all seek to behold. And one day, we will have that opportunity. For heaven is at hand for all of us. We never know that day that we're going to be called home. That state of rest, that state of happiness. Oh, we will rest from all our troubles, from all care. We'll not have a worry in the world, and from all sorrow and all pain. I shared this with you some time ago. I believe I'll take the opportunity to share it with you once again. It was just a short while after my wife had passed away. And I tell you, I was so down and discouraged and depressed, feeling so sorry for myself. And by my bed, kneeling there that night, I prayed out loud. I prayed vocally. Lord, why? Why, Lord, did you take her from me? And I paused in that moment of silence and despair. And I heard that tender, sweet, still voice speak to my mind. And he said unto me, because that she could have a fullness of happiness and joy. And I knew as much as I would try, I could never, ever bring her to that fullness of happiness and joy in this life, on this side of heaven, no matter how hard I tried. I trust she has found her rest in the paradise of God, wrapped up in that pure, sweet love of our Master, along with my daughter, Andrea. Where they are able to partake of that tree of life. And from Revelation, 2nd chapter, 7th verse, we read these words. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Very short scripture, but it tells us where that tree of life is in this moment of eternity. It's in the midst of paradise. And all those that are partakers thereof have opportunity to partake of that fruit, of that tree, and live forever. That fruit that is white above all the whiteness of the earth, and sweeter than anything that is sweet. That is our promise if we are overcomers in this last day. And that scripture that Dan was going to use as an opening scripture, I'd like to read it in my closing remarks. It's from Moroni, the 7th chapter, the 52nd and the 53rd verse. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is a pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love, which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and we may have this hope, that we may be purified, even as he is pure. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Bill, for giving us insight on all the areas in which we have avenue through prayer to commune with God. Let's turn our hymnals to hymn 377. We'll stand and sing this, and Brother Joe will bring the benediction.
O God, the Eternal Father, it has indeed been good to be here in your house this day, to come together and to worship Thee. And I thank you, Father, for the message that was shared with us this night, and the call to a remembrance of the responsibilities that we have to be drawn out in prayer continually over all things as we're counseled in your word. Help us, Father, that we not become so hurried with the things of this life that we forget that moment to commune with Thee, to start our day this way, that all may fall into place and would be under your watch care and your keeping. Father, as we consider these things and as the saints depart your house this night and go to their homes, we pray and ask your blessing upon them. Help them this week that the presence of your Spirit would dwell with them and would be a strong influence in their life and in their homes. We thank you, Lord, for this Sabbath day, and we pray that you would continue with us now. And we ask all these things in the worthy name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.